Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. We're going to take a little bit of a break from the spring sports, and we're going to look ahead towards fall just a little bit. We have two new football coaches in the Trinity League out at J. Sarah High School and at Orange Lutheran. And we kick things off this week by talking with that new head football coach of the J. Sarah Lions, Pat Harlow. I guess I should say new head football coach, because you've been at J. Sarah for a while, haven't you, Coach?
This is my fourth year, yeah, so I've been here a little bit.
What has your experience been like as part of the Lions program, you know, to this point, before getting the head coaching job?
It's been great. You know, I think Coach Harding did a great job instilling a great work ethic in the kids in our program. Tough, hard-nosed kids that come out and compete every day.
Were you just in the right place at the right time? Were you ready to take this job, or was it something you kind of thought about for a little bit before taking it?
I definitely thought about it before I was taking it. My plan was not to be a head coach again, and this opportunity arose, and it just seems, you know, God's put you in certain places at certain times that he wants you. So I just felt like it was time for me to step up and take on the role.
Yeah, you've been the offensive line coach, which is an obvious spot for you as a former offensive lineman. Yourself, what was the draw here? Is the fact that it is J. Sarah, and it's the school that it is, and the fact that it's a Trinity League program?
Well, it's definitely part of, it's all those things that you said. You know, being part of the Trinity League is always a challenge. All the schools that we play against are excellent programs and excellent schools. Also, I believe in what the school is trying to do and what we're trying to instill in our kids from a holistic part of the school and being a student athlete.
Certainly not a situation where you're having to build some from the bottom up. I mean, it's as you mentioned, head coach Jim Hartigan left behind a great program, one that's in place. Obviously, it's a system that you want to come in and I'm sure put your imprint though as a head coach now.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, there's always going to be change with change at the top. But I did keep most of my staff intact. Did hire a new coordinator on offense. And our defensive coordinator has been in the program with us for a year and a guy I'd coached with previously at San Clemente. So there's been some good carryover, which is great for the kids. They know what to expect. And our coaches also know the kids very well.
Pat Harlow joining us on Catholic Sports View, the new head football coach at J. Sarah High School. When you first got to J. Sarah, when Coach Hartigan first hired you, what were the things you wanted to work with your kids, your offensive linemen? Obviously, so much of football starts with the work in the trenches.
Our philosophy up front is to be the most relentless and physical team that we can be on every snap. So it's really coming out every day and putting in the work. It doesn't just happen on Friday night. And we've had quite a bit of success up front in the last few years. I'm not going to take the credit for that. I've had some really great players play for us. And again, just kind of carrying on what Coach Hartigan had started.
Playing in the Trinity, it's so much like a college atmosphere. I mean, the league itself is so head and shoulders above so much of the other football that's played in Southern California. Do you have that feeling as well? It's almost like being part of a college community in a way?
It definitely is a college-type atmosphere, from just the other coaches that you're coaching against in the league to obviously the players when you step on the field. Like, I remember stepping on the field a few years ago against Servite, and I thought we were playing an NFL team. So these kids that choose to play in the Trinity League are a different stature mentally and physically. And it's funny, I was at a championship game with a coach this past year, and he goes, "Man, these kids look slow and small." I'm like, "No, that's what high school kids look like. We just play in a different type of a league."
Right. We talk so much about the Trinity League. You know, how much do you know some of the other coaches that you're going up against?
I honestly don't have any personal issues. Obviously, I know who they all are. I don't know the new guy at Orange Lou at all, to be honest with you, other than seeing him on the sideline in their freshman game. You know, Jason Negro's obviously done an unbelievable job. He did a great job while he was at Tribuco. You know, Coach Rawlinson's been getting after it for a long time now, and he's not slowing down, it doesn't appear. And actually, I know Coach Fisher a little bit from when he was at Nebraska, and they were recruiting my son. So those are the guys I kind of know.
Pat Harlow, once again joining us here. You remember the name, former USC and NFL offensive lineman, and now the head coach at J. Sarah High School. J. Sarah is unique in that it's still a newer school within the focus of the Trinity League, and it's not a team that certainly hasn't had its share of talent around, but hasn't seen a lot of success over the years because of how good this Trinity League is. How do you get this team to become one of those top teams within the Trinity?
It's honestly getting them to believe in themselves. The one thing I try to stress to these guys is that, you know, no matter who you're playing, they're still high school kids just like you. And it's trying to get them, it's more of a mental roadblock than anything else, more than physical. It's just, hey, believing in yourself, believing in the coaches, believing in your teammates, and going out and competing and seeing what happens at that point. Don't lose the game because you're playing, you know, you see on the schedule it says Marte or St. John Bosco or Corona Centennial or whoever it is. Go out and play the game and see what happens.
You know, we talk about Coach Hartigan and the legend that he is in you know, California football and what he's done at Santa Margarita, J. Sarah for the last couple of years. Are there things that he left behind that you want to keep within the program?
You know, honestly, we're tweaking what he's already put in place, to be honest with you. I think that he did so many things right that I would be foolish to try to get rid of him. Again, his biggest thing was to come and compete every day, which is one of the reasons I came here with him in the first place, and going out and just trying to get to be the best player you can be each day. And so those things aren't changing. Now, there's obviously some tweaks to the program, but not a wholesale change.
What kind of kid are you looking for? What kind of player do you want to be a Lion, you know, for 4 years?
I want a smart, tough, loyal kid. You know, I want a kid that's going to come in here and not be afraid to put in the work. A kid that's going to dedicate himself to his team and his teammates, and a smart kid. You know, there's no room for the quote-unquote dumb jocks in athletics anymore. And at the end of the day, we are an academic institution where we're trying to get these kids prepared for life beyond football. And the reality is that most of these kids will never play another down once they leave here. But they should be set up to ready to compete in college athletics if they're so blessed, but at least be able to compete on academic and social aspect when they get to college and beyond.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it leading into my next question. You know, J. Sarah, it's not unique within the Trinity. Maybe the Trinity is unique within California, maybe even Southern California sports scene, in that, you know, obviously the faith factor is first and foremost at the school, academics running a close second. Those are the things that the school really concentrates on, and then, you know, athletics is coming in right behind that. I mean, you got to have your priorities straight as a student athlete, right?
Absolutely. You know, if football is number one on your to-do list, your priorities are wrong. And that's one thing that's great about this school is the faith aspect, the academic aspect, and the social aspect. So all those things are important. I mean, you should be faith, academics, family, and then football. If football is higher than fourth on there, you're probably doing the wrong thing.
Is it important to have, we talk about faith, is it important to have a team that gets together, maybe goes to Mass, you know, has a chance maybe to pray together, do other things together as a team to build that camaraderie?
I believe it is, and I think it's unique to our school. I think we may be the only Trinity League school that actually has all-school Mass once a week. You know, we begin and end every practice or weightlifting session or meeting with a prayer. I think those are things that definitely bring kids together.
Again, Pat Harlow joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week. He is the new football coach, the head coach out at J. Sarah High School. As you look around, obviously, you know, the year Mater Dei had, Bosco came up at the end and beat Mater Dei, kind of flipped the script on him a little bit there in the playoffs. As you had a chance to look at all these programs within the Trinity, are there other things that you see other coaches do, other programs do, that you go, hey, maybe that's something I kind of bring into this program as well?
Well, I think, you know, I don't think any coach is beyond looking at other programs and trying to find things that work at other schools, but it also has to fit within what you do and your personality. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be Bruce Rawlinson, nor is he going to be Pat Harlow. So, you know, to say that, I think that football coaches in general are the biggest thieves on earth. We'll take and steal from anybody. That's not in a bad way, but, you know, we do. You're constantly looking at your program and seeing how you can improve. And sometimes that you're looking within the Trinity League. And, you know, we've studied Bosco a lot and how they run certain plays and Marte as well. And it's all the other schools, but we also are looking at different schools outside the Trinity League and colleges and just trying to take their ideas and seeing what fits our philosophy and our personnel.
During your playing career, either consciously or subconsciously, were you paying attention to what some of your coaches did, position coaches as well as head coaches, and sort of maybe making a file in your head of what it would be like maybe to one day be a coach, if you had even thought that far?
Well, you know what? I never thought I was going to get into coaching when I was playing, but I definitely did take a lot from all the different coaches that I've played for and with. I had a run with Bill Parcells, and we didn't get along particularly well, but I did learn a lot of football from him. And actually, sometimes you learn a lot of stuff from people that you don't necessarily see eye to eye with, but you can see where they're coming from. And so, obviously, I mean, I would say I'm a mix of a lot of Bill Parcells, a little bit of John Gruden, a little bit of Joe Bugle, a little bit of Dick McPherson, and a little bit of Mike White. So those are all my head coaches. And so I've taken a little bit from each and one of them because they've all kind of formed you, as well as my college football coaches who are great men who really, helped me set up the rest of my life.
It's a great list of head coaches right there that you played for. That's quite a list.
I was definitely blessed with some really outstanding football coaches.
Obviously, playing on the offensive side of the ball, I would think offensively would be a focus to get this Lions team jump started.
Absolutely. I'm an offensive guy. I mean, I did coach defense for a while when I was at San Clemente. So I've got a feel for both sides, I would like to think. But obviously, my focus is more on offense. I'm really letting Jeff Veeder really kind of be hands-off on him and let him do his thing on defense. Obviously, I'm watching all the practice tape and all those types of things and giving my 2 cents. But at the end of the day, the final decisions will come down to me, and if we win or lose, it'll be, if the decisions that I make along with my other coaches.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, we'll have more with head coach Pat Harlow. We'll talk a little bit more about the Lions, and then we want to touch a little bit on his playing career as well. A lot of you remember him as a USC Trojan and as an NFL offensive lineman as well. More here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio when we come back. Joining us here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio, and our guest right now on the line is Pat Harlow. He's just been announced a little while ago as the new head football coach at J. Sarah High School. And Coach, right before we went to break, you mentioned Coach Veeder. I wanted to talk about building a staff that can compete in the Trinity League, and so much of it is, of course, having the great players, but almost as much of it too is having that coaching staff together to help put that philosophy in place. How important is it to have that coaching staff around you?
Well, it's absolutely vital. If you don't have guys that, number one, know what they're doing, two, that you trust, and three, they have to have the ability to build relationships with kids. This is probably the last level of football that coach-player relationship is ultimately important. And I think I've surrounded myself with guys that are great at building relationships with the kids.
Has college football almost become like professional football because of that? The relationship isn't as strong as it once was?
Yeah, I believe it is. In college, you never know how long that guy's going to be there. Where in high school, for the most part, we get a pretty decent run, yeah. Before we get run out. In college, you just don't get that opportunity sometimes because it is such a, it's really a dollars and cents thing. If you're not winning, you're going to get fired. My own son went to Oregon State because he really believed in the staff, and they left after 2 years. So those are things that are definitely changing. We're in high school. Most of the time when you come in as a freshman, that head coach is still going to be your head coach when you leave as a senior.
You obviously play the game for the love of it when you start out, but very few people, you yourself, did get a chance to play at the professional level. Obviously, it becomes a career. You're paid well for working that job, quote-unquote. Is there still a chance to play for love of the game when you get to that high level?
I still think if you don't love the game at that level, you're not going to play very long because it's a brutal game at that level, at the professional level. It's also ultimately time-consuming, where you have to actually be pretty selfish with your time and with what you're doing to be successful. And if you don't love it, it's really not very much fun.
You played with some great players, and we'll start off with your college career. Obviously, USC, so many fans around here love USC, and rightfully so. It's been such a great program over the years. You played with the likes of Rodney Peete, Ricky Irvins, some great names over the years at USC. Obviously, you have to have great memories of your time as a Trojan.
It was such a fantastic part of my life, and you're right. I got to play with so many fantastic players there. We had 40 guys get drafted in the NFL and play a long time, and I was lucky enough to be there and win 3 Pac-10 championships and go to 3 Rose Bowls and just be around really quality guys that, you know, we still are very close.
You talk about the personal relationships. Obviously, at the high school level, you make some friends there, and you have that group. Then you have that group in college. Is this something you try to talk to your players about? Is developing those kind of lifelong relationships?
I do. It's something we talk about quite a bit, and it is. I mean, especially in high school, these are guys who are going to be in your wedding. You know, you spend so much time with each other, probably more than with your family at this level. And you build lifelong relationships. I mean, I can tell you that most of my really good friends are still from high school and college. I still have a core group of guys that I'm pretty close with from my time in New England. When I got to the Raiders, not so many guys do I still talk to, but I did make some great relationships early in my career.
The NFL draft is right around the corner as we speak. You were a first-round pick, the 11th pick in the draft by the New England Patriots. What was that process like for you, knowing you had a chance to not only be a professional football player, but, you know, to be a high selection like that?
You know, it was crazy because, you know, I didn't play that much my first 2 years. Switched to the offensive line my second two, and I never even thought about playing in the NFL until probably right before my senior season. I started getting a lot of this publicity. I'm like, I have no idea what this is about. And so I think I was kind of blissfully ignorant to what was going on. And I literally just played because it was a blast. I just had so much fun playing. And I think that that's the reason that I was able to play at a high level and not get bogged down. Today, these kids coming out, you know, as seniors in college, there's so much pressure to perform at the combine and these personal workouts and all these types of things that it can be overwhelming. You know, a lot of times in the off season, I work with guys getting them ready for the draft. And I also personally going through with my own son who's eligible for the draft this year. And I feel very blessed that I came out when I did. And it wasn't such, I mean, it was still a big deal, but I didn't get overwhelmed by it.
I imagine it's got to be a huge advantage for your son now to have you there to be able to say, hey, this is what I did. These are the things that happened. Maybe look out for this, look out for that. That's got to be a huge advantage for him.
Well, you would think, but my name is still Dad, and so sometimes they don't want to listen to Dad. But he's starting to listen a little bit more. And I've tried to give him some, you know, the same perspective. Like, don't let it overwhelm you. You got to this position because you're a really good football player. Just go out and put in the work and see what happens.
What does it mean when you get to that point? I mean, we talk about the group of high school players, and then the group gets smaller as they are able to play the college. And then that group is really small when it gets to the NFL. I mean, how big a difference is there between the kid that can play and the kid that can't play at that next level?
From college to the pros?
Yeah.
It's a big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, what I try to tell guys when they're coming out and getting ready for the drafts, the best guy you played against in college is very average. In the NFL, they are ultimately it's the best of the best, and they've been doing it and putting in the work just like you. They're same size, they're just as strong. Everybody's pretty equal, and it really becomes down to a mental game. You know, how much time are you willing to invest in doing the little things, taking care of your body, watching the extra film, really figuring out the guy that you're playing against. So it's quite a bit of difference, actually.
Did it help you on campus coaching high school players? Does it help that you have the pedigree, you have the resume of playing major college football, NFL football, and does it help that you're 6'7" tall as well?
It definitely gives me a certain bit of cachet when I talk to them, in that I'm one of the few people that can say, I've actually done what you dream of.
Yeah.
And so I know what it takes to get to each level and how to succeed at each level. I do get a little bit of a break, I guess, where they will actually listen. At the same time, they get very used to me being around and and hearing the same message over and over. So sometimes I'm not sure that they continue to hear the message.
Pat Harlow joining us, the head football coach now at J. Sarah High School. Going to try to take the Lions to the top of the Trinity League here, and that's no small order, as we know around here. We cover the Trinity League on a weekly basis. Obviously, you got to New England, and you were there in the era that preceded, obviously, the Tom Brady era, where this franchise has reached unbelievable heights. Did you have any idea during your time in New England that this franchise was starting to turn itself around from what had been kind of a laughing stock maybe throughout a little bit of the early 90s there?
Actually, you know, right before I got traded, I knew that they were going to turn it. Actually, the next year they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I missed that. But, you know, you could definitely see it. I still feel very connected to that, to their success, in that when they brought me in, they actually brought me in and told me, we brought you in here to change the culture. And so I feel like I did that for that franchise. And I know that I helped change the way that the players approach the game there, and some of them don't even know me, but there's remnants all the way back, and it's been 20 years to how I played and prepared, and I can see that those guys have kind of taken, you know, each guy that played, you know, with me or and stayed there, that it continued on my work ethic and the way I prepared. I still feel very connected to that.
The Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, has been so good about bringing back alumni and including, you know, all the historical Patriots over the years. So you still feel like you're attached? Are you brought back in as a former player, and are you part of the festivities that sometimes happen around the team and the franchise?
I get invited. I just don't have a chance to go back. Yeah. I was blessed enough to make their all-decade team for the 90s, and I was invited back for their Super Bowl team that Bledsoe led them to right after I left. So I'm still part of that Patriot family. I was really lucky enough to play for two of absolutely the greatest owners that you could play for, and Mr. Kraft and Mr. Davis in Oakland.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch on your time with the Oakland Raiders. I mean, obviously, to go from one legendary franchise to another, what was it like now to change franchises and, you know, become part of the Raider lore?
Well, I can tell you it was a little bit bittersweet because I love my teammates in New England. I love the area. But it was also awesome to come home and get to play in California, live in my own house, actually, which was nice. And I was really lucky in that I got to play next to a guy in Oakland that I truly admired as a player, and got to play next to him for 3 years and got to know that he was a much better man than he was a player, and he was one heck of a player. So that was awesome.
Yeah, talk a little bit about some of the teammates. You mentioned making friends in different stops. Are there guys that you played with in Oakland that you really admired?
Steve Wisniewski was my left guard. Mm-hmm. I got to play next to every day for 3 years. He is one of the most unbelievable football players. How he's not in the Hall of Fame is still beyond me. You know, obviously Tim Brown, Chester McLaughlin, James Jett, Kevin Gogan, Lincoln Kennedy. I got to play with Harvey Stevens, a running back, and just some phenomenal players and really good men.
Has the NFL changed that much from when you played to what you see now?
They're just bigger and faster. you know, it's crazy. You know, sometimes you forget how fast that game moves. And I can tell you, I was working out a guard from, his name is Zane Beatles. He played for the Broncos when they went to the Super Bowl the first time with Peyton Manning. And I was working him out, and he came around on this pole drill. I'm like, oh my goodness, I hope he doesn't hit me, because he's, you know, 320 pounds and running like the wind. I'm like, oh my God. And his ability to not hit me was amazing. It was just the control of his body at that size and that speed.
As you get through the end of the spring here and you start to look towards the fall, what are the kids working on right now? What do you have your kids doing in off-season football workouts?
Well, you know, right now we're really really concentrating on our strength and conditioning. Mm-hmm. And I hired a new strength coach, Todd Norman, and our kids are just absolutely crushing it in the weight room right now. We've got more guys squatting over 400 pounds than I would have ever imagined. And everybody right now is, we're getting ready to max next week, but they've already hit personal bests in all their lifts. So I'm excited about their progress. And then we're doing some football, not a ton of it, but we're just, you know, with a new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, we're installing our base concepts right now.
Coach, I want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. I have no doubt that the Lions program is in good hands at this point, and we wish you a lot of luck. And I know the fall is going to be here sooner than we know it, and football season's going to be upon us one more time.
I appreciate for having me on, and take care.
Yeah, thanks again, Coach. That's Pat Harlow, the new head football coach with the J. Sarah Lions. And we'll have more on Catholic Sports View when we come back. Stay with us here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Catholic Sports View, and we take time now as we continue our offseason football special and talk with the new head coach at Orange Lutheran High School, and that's J.P. Presley. Coach, thanks for taking a couple of minutes out of, I know it's a busy schedule this time of year.
Oh, it's great. It's just a pleasure to be able to communicate, talk about the program.
Absolutely. We want to talk, spend some time here talking about Olu football. You're going into your first year at Orange Lutheran, but you're certainly no stranger to the school. You're an alumni of Orange Lutheran, so nice to be the head coach now at your alma mater.
Yeah, it's always that's probably one of the best pieces to this program, and being a part of it is understanding the years I've spent here as a student and then coming back and to be able to serve and lead my alma mater.
Obviously, this year the head coach now, but you've been at the school for a while, since I think the year 2000. So you've been a Lancer, it seems like, for life, right?
Yeah, that's what they tell me. You know, I've been here, it's all I know is being a Lancer and being able to be a part of those great phases in the football program when it came to growth. You know, and to be able to see that and just experience it, and now being here and leading, 81 boys and the rest of the program is exciting.
Let's kind of go step by step through the progression of your time at Orange Lutheran as a player at the high school. What was it like, back in the early 90s, being a Lancer football player at Olu?
Well, I think the first thing pops out is to me is when you talk about being able to play on your campus on a Saturday. And now going to playing at Orange Coast College. I mean, those were some great days where you had 32 guys on the field playing on a hot, sunny day on Saturday at 2 o'clock and smelling the snack bar. Those are the the greatest things there. But guys that have become lifelong friends, and that's a big piece to who we are here at the school.
So what you're telling me is that Orange Lutheran football has come a long ways here in the past 20 some years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, if this was an hour show, I wouldn't even be able to get you through, the first couple years. But no, it's been fantastic to be back here.
Obviously for you and for the people from that time, some of your friends that you've, kept from your high school years, it's got to be fun to watch the school become what a couple of years ago was a state football champion under Jim Kuhnow and become a Trinity League, stalwart.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, I think that just comes with the vision of administration and the school here to see past 13 acres and see what we can do here as a unit and as a team and from administration all the way down to the football field and all the other athletic programs here at the school to buy into that vision.
J.P. Presley, the new head coach at Orange Lutheran High School, joining us. What did you do after high school?
So when I graduated from Orange Lutheran, I went up to Rocky Mountain College in Billings, Montana, where I learned how to play football in the snow.
And lots of snow. I've been to Montana a couple of times myself, so I'm familiar with it up there. Yeah, not exactly the same climate as Southern California.
Yeah, coming from Southern California, not really owning a weather jacket was my first initiation into Rocky Mountain football.
At what point did you get the idea maybe you started thinking about maybe getting into coaching, maybe after your college days?
It was probably around 99 when I came back from Montana and got a call from Brent Bieselmeyer, who was the defensive coordinator at the time and having some experience with Coach Kuhnow and understanding that, hey, he wanted to grow and he wanted to bring on alumni, but also bring people who knew football, loved the Lord, played hard. And that was something right there that was just a trigger in my heart to always be in the coaching world.
You mentioned Coach Kuhnow, and obviously I've had my conversations with him as well. Such a fabulous head coach, a wonderful human being, a great person. What did you learn? How much did you learn about football, faith, life, everything from Coach Kuhnow?
Well, Coach Kuhnow was just a great mentor. What he did with the boys, he did with the coaches. He got us all to believe. He created vision and resiliency through the lens of Christ, and I think that was probably the biggest aspect of who we were, that we, the way we defined success, the pillars of the program, things that were easy to own, and understanding our background as followers of Christ, that made it real simple for us to buy in. And he's just been a great mentor to me, and many of the things I learned as a young coach from Coach Kuhnow.
So much of what happens in the Trinity League school, the Trinity is really, it's its own community. It's really such a special place because I can really testify to every school that I've covered it within the Trinity, faith is first, academics second, and then come athletics, after that. I mean, it's really having your priorities in order, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to be aligned in order to be successful. And I think that's where we're at as a school and where we're headed with the program, and having a lot of people that have been in front of me that have laid foundations in the program, from being an Olympic League contender to an Empire League to Trinity League and being part of a state championship team. Those are things that we were able to use as tangible pieces that the way we do things here works.
It's not a much bigger school than the time when you were a student at OLU. You're not dealing with one of the bigger student bodies in Orange County, and yet the really good athletes always seem to show up at Orange Lutheran. How is this athletic program, not just in football, but in basketball, and certainly we've talked about the baseball team this year as well, one of the top teams in the nation. How has this athletic program been able to build itself into such a power?
Well, I think it led with the school, you know, the mission of the school and making it a we thing and understanding that this is a great premium. We're all of the Trinity League schools are unique in some way. We just found a way to make that more public. We have a great faculty and staff, awesome teachers and visionaries that are leading our school, from the board of directors to our administration.
How big a jump was it to go from an Empire League school to a Trinity school? Can you even put into words what that jump is like?
Well, I can tell you this. It's like every game is your A game when you go with that jump. And not to take anything away from the days of the Empire League, but you have to be, and to go back to alignment, you have to have great alignment. And I think that's where going from Empire League, from speed at every position, the strength at every position, those are the big keys. You know, there's not many places that you're going to miss in this league where it's not loaded with talent at each position. And I think that's probably been the biggest jump. So investing in our strength and conditioning program and having the kids buy into that is a big piece too.
J.P. Presley joining us here on Catholic Sports View. I wanted to talk about your predecessor a little bit, Chuck Peterson. You know, he came in with a college background into this Orange Lutheran job. What was it like to work with him and maybe pick his brain in the things that he had done at the college level and bringing that to a high school team?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just the going from being a school in Orange County with, you know, predominantly regional influences as it relates to players and athletes, to Coach Peterson, who worked national, mm-hmm. who had young adults to see, you know, their success in high school, bringing them into college and transferring those expectations of what it's going to be required of them in college to the high school level, you know, just to be able to give us that vision and lay that foundation for our players, students, and our families to be that type of knowledge and a resource, and really lay down a great foundation of another platform.
When you knew that the school and Coach Peterson were going to part ways, was it a natural thing? Hey, I want this job, or was it something? Hey, I got to think about this for a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely need some time when you're approached with a position like this to, you know, talk to your family and especially your wife and understand the commitment there, but. To me and my family, you know, when you have an administration that believes in you and you've got support at home that says, hey, this is an excellent opportunity. We know where your passions are, and it's leading young men and developing a premium of faith and character. You know, it becomes an easy decision.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point, right. And the fact that it's home, obviously,
yep,
you know, really factors into it.
Absolutely. It's a comfort zone of understanding and not having to reinvent relationships within the school, from teachers to administrators to staff across the board. It's what I know. So we have a really great pulse on keeping our players steady and understanding that, hey, this is not about slowing down and regrouping. This is about moving forward based on the platforms and foundation that's already been established.
Right. This may be a question for the administration that hired you, but I'll go ahead and present it to you anyway. You know, obviously, Coach Peterson came in, you know, with a college background, you know, kind of an outsider, quote unquote. Coach Fisher over at Santa Margarita obviously had the college degree or the college pedigree as well, you know, going into Santa Margarita. Orange Lutheran goes a little different direction this time. You know, they take somebody who's within the program. I mean it as a compliment, obviously, because it's somebody who knows the program, has been within the program several years. I mean, how much of an advantage is it? And I think it is an advantage, personally, that you're somebody the kids know. You live and breathe, you know, Orange Lutheran High School. You're somebody, you know, who's invested in this program, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, to always answer that question, I think you have to think of culture, you know, understanding how much time I've spent here at the school as a student and an employee. And my dad was a baseball coach here. Like, this is what we know,
right,
and instill culture so that we don't lose track of that. We keep a good pulse on it. And, you know, majority of these kids, I've known them for a long time, you know, so transition as it came to the relationship with the boys, which is the most important, to invest in the culture and bring those highlights out. Those are the big pieces that I think these kids have just jumped in, you know, someone to articulate what it means to be a football player at Orange Lutheran.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View, and when we come back, we will continue our interview with J.P. Presley. He's the new head football coach out at Orange Lutheran High School. We'll be back right after this break. Stay with us.
Orange County Catholic Book Club is kicking off its author focus series with a presentation by the promising new Orange County-based Catholic author, James Day. Day will discuss his latest work, Father Benedict, the Spiritual and Intellectual Legacy of Pope Benedict XVI, with a panel of local church scholars, including Father Robert Spitzer and Pia De Soleni, on Thursday, April 27th at 6:30 p.m. in the Freed Theater on the Christ Cathedral campus. For ticket information, go to Book Club Series eventbrite.com or call 714-282-3045. That's 714-282-3045. The Orange County Catholic Book Club offers quarterly opportunities to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors, reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. For more information on the OC Catholic Book Club, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson. Thanks again for joining us this week. And we're talking with J.P. Presley. He's been named the new head football coach out at Orange Lutheran High School, but he's been at the school, I think, mostly all your life, right? That's what it must seem like.
Yeah, you might have to call my mom.
You know, what we were talking about before, I think it really is important. You know, I think I'm seeing programs, you know, I've been covering high school sports in Orange County for over 25 years, and I've seen programs that try to go a different direction. We talked about, you know, programs hiring, you know, people with college pedigrees to come in. But I think it's really important, like Orange Lutheran has done here, to hire somebody who's invested in the school, who believes in the school, knows exactly what the culture is like to be an Orange Lutheran Lancer. And I got to think, you know, that's a big reason why they've entrusted you with this very important job on campus.
Absolutely. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing there. It's always about we. It's always about Orange Lutheran, you know, and the school, and the kids get to be a part of a great high school in Southern California. So that's where I feel like my job is as a head coach, is to be inspiring for them and be a game changer, not only on and off the field, but in their life when they're older, you know. And those are big pieces. We just celebrated our Hall of Fame on Sunday to see all the alumni come back to honor the 2006 team. That's just inspiration. That's something tangible kids can see, that we can do it this way.
Yeah. How much fun is that to see those kids that have now gone on and graduated college? They're young men now, you know, husbands, fathers, businessmen. How much fun is it to see them come back all this time later?
The best part about it is that, you know, in talking with a lot of the alumni, is that it's still just like yesterday to them. And that just encourages me as a leader to understand that the 4 years that we have these students, what a lifelong impact you make on these kids and their experience and their memories of the grind of July and the summer and getting through a fall, you know, and bringing them together. That's just a great tangible piece to be honored that way.
Does it take you back too? Do you feel that sometimes that same feeling as when you were playing out there and strapping on the pads and the helmet?
Absolutely. You know, you never come off the field when we used to play at Orange Lutheran. So, you know, I had to take a couple of Advil just to make sure I wasn't sore from thinking about those memories. But what a great opportunity to just continue to build off of that, all the things that we've done here at the school.
Well, you're the new head football coach. Congratulations. Welcome to the Trinity League. And you get to face Jason Negro and the Bosco Braves, and you get to face Bruce Rawlinson and the Modern Day Monarchs, two programs who just made a mess out of high school football in Southern California this past year. So obviously the job is ahead of you now to figure out how to win football games in maybe the best league in the nation in some ways.
Well, I think just the way you said it is kind of embodies what we're all about, is that we get to do these things.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important piece in talking to the young man, that you get to do these things. You get to be a part of a high-profile league and understand the brotherhood of trust that develops by playing at high levels.
How do you set out to win football games in the Trinity League? And look, we just talked with Coach Harlow, the new head coach at J. Sarah High School as well. And it's the same thing. It's not for a lack of talent at J. Sarah. It's not a lack of talent at Orange Lutheran, but it's a very fine line between the teams that win the Trinity and somehow end up in fourth place in the Trinity. You could be a great football team and be last place in the Trinity League.
Absolutely. I think those are the things that wake you up in the morning real early is what are you going to do and how are you going to do it? But I think if you just focus on each week and understand the plan at hand, you know, I've always had this philosophy of not necessarily your schedule that makes you tough, it's your practice that makes you tough. Mm. And so that's where we're starting.
J.P. Presley, the new head coach, football coach at Orange Lutheran High School, joining us here on Catholic Sports View. So, you know, as you get named the head football coach, what's the first thing you hit the ground running with? What are the first changes you want to make or you have made within the program here?
When you take over January 9th and understanding where the boys are in their season, you know, you start in the weight room. We've invested a lot into that and made it a huge part of what we do and an extension of the program. It actually all starts there. And so we've, from the 4 days a week that we're lifting and the 3 or 4 days on the field, we've just created platforms of success where we could measure where we're headed and how we're going. So the weight room was the first thing and where we started.
And then where do you go from there? I mean, obviously you've put a staff around you. How important is it to put the right staff around you as well?
Well, you've definitely had to bring in people you trust and people that understand the mission and the vision of the school first. And I think that's why you'll start to see a lot of our staff that were alumni here that played in a lot of those days that are qualified to lead young men, but understand the common knowledge and the common verbiage of how we're going to do things when I go back to how we practice.
Not bad to have a guy like D. Mesa as your defensive coordinator, right? Somebody that Orange Lutheran fans, Trinity League fans remember D. Mesa.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, having Mike Crawford join our staff as well as the offensive coordinator, two alumni that care wholeheartedly about the school and have the ability to articulate and teach their vision of both sides of the ball.
I always say that Orange Lutheran is kind of the outlier in the Trinity and that it's an all-Catholic league except for the Orange Lutheran.
which
So I always say, hey, we got to give some love to our Lutheran brothers over at Orange Lutheran High School. We always do. We always do. But, you know, obviously it's a league centered around Christ and centered around, faith. And I know that's a big, important part of, you know, of the Catholic schools. It's a big, important part of what happens on the campus at Orange Lutheran as well.
Absolutely. Well, I think you make time for it. I think you put it into your practice schedule when it comes to teaching students from a variety of lenses how Christ can impact their life, how faith and character is what gets you through the hard times. And when we talk about this Trinity League, there's nothing easy about it. So to be able to rely on that and be intentional with their faith development and their character development on a daily basis, that's the part you have to lean on.
Yeah, it's so true. And if the rumors are correct, Crean Lutheran might be joining the Trinity League here in the not too distant future. So we might get the second Lutheran school over in the Trinity League, that's a program that not unlike Orange Lutheran and maybe J. Sarah before it, that's a program that has reached big heights very, very quickly. We'll talk about all that when and if it happens. But Coach, we want to thank you, want to congratulate you, and wish you luck as you embark on this new chapter in your life at Orange Lutheran High School.
Great, thank you so much, Bob.
Coach, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. Well, as we close things out here this week on Catholic Sports View, we want to recognize the Rosary basketball team. The girls won the state championship, and right before they embarked on that big run, we had a chance to talk with Coach Yoon and one of his star players as they embarked on that run at a state title. Coach, it's obviously an exciting time. When we talked to you, you know, about a month ago, we talked about the chance for a real special season here. You're in the midst of it right now.
Yeah, it's been a really special season for all of us here at Rosary. It's the atmosphere is exciting. Everyone is pumped up about the games and about our team. And more than anything, it's building a great culture environment for everyone.
Obviously, there's going to be comparisons to the 99, you know, championship squad. Do you see comparisons in having experienced both?
Well, absolutely. I mean, championships aren't built because you breeze through things. I mean, we had lots of obstacles to overcome especially this weekend with Red and Gold, we had so many different distractions, but our kids, they persevered, they fought through it, and every year, Red and Gold is such a special thing to our school, but at the same time, we're right in the middle of playoffs, and Becky especially had a big role in Red and Gold this year, so she was running from playoff game to Servi Gym to try to perform, and so there's a lot going on, but it was really exciting, and both turned out really great for us.
Becky, how special has it been? You know, how exciting to be in the midst of this playoff run?
Well, it's been really exciting for me. I mean, I've never had this opportunity before, and I mean, now that I'm here and I'm enjoying this experience. It's been great.
It's obviously good to celebrate a CIF championship. You know, it's a big achievement. But, you know, state, you know, on top of that, was the focus like, hey, we won CIF. Maybe we'll celebrate that later, but let's focus on trying to get maybe a state championship, the dream of dreams?
Yes, actually, because, I mean, we have the team to do it. So it's like, we should do, you know, we should get to that goal. That's our biggest goal, actually.
Was there a time this season, Coach, that you knew this team had a chance to make this run that it was having now, or was this from the beginning?
It was a time of change, I thought. In the beginning, in the summer, we were just trying to get to know each other. Just trying to get to play together was a huge thing. And then in the regular season, we started out in a tough tournament and lost to Brea. And then finally, when we finished our second tournament, we started to figure out that we were something special. We started to beat teams that were in the open, and we figured out that we could possibly do something special at the end.
You have alumni coming back, showing their support, especially the girls from the previous CIF team?
You know, it was amazing to see so many of the 1999 girls there. They're married and have careers, and you know, they have stuff going on, but they came to support us. And the alumni, especially one of them, actually told me, Tara Campbell, her the councilwoman at Yorba Linda now, she said she's almost living her dreams through our team this year, so that you know, everything that we do is a reflection of their hard work throughout the year. So it was really special for us.
We talked in our previous interview about, you know, how tough the Trinity League is. I would imagine that gauntlet that you go through to get through that, you know, really helps in getting to this point now.
Sure. I mean, the competition's been so great. And like I said before, the Trinity League brings out all your weaknesses. And so playing in the playoffs, it really helps to fine-tune what you're not good at. And it helps you to realize situations that you've probably never have seen before. And it gets you, like I said, really prepared for what's coming up.
What are the things that you and your teammates have talked about? Or is it more of a nonverbal thing at this point, just kind of going about your business?
Well, I mean, we just try to keep each other motivated. We are always communicating. I mean, our friendship has gotten a lot stronger since the beginning. We're like family, basically.
Right. I know you don't want to look ahead, and nobody likes to look ahead, but kind of in the back of your mind, what would it mean to you to be a state champion?
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be a great opportunity. I mean, that's a dream. It's like something that I would have never thought of getting this far.
And Coach, we know your resume. We know everything you've accomplished here, but adding state champion to the list, I got to imagine that would be a nice thing for you as well.
Right. I mean, the school's never had a state championship in any sport, so we would surely like to put one of those banners up.
We're going to follow you guys through this run. We wish you luck, and go get a championship. Thanks again to Coach Yoon and the entire Rosary Royals team over there. Congratulations one more time on being named state championships. A huge win for that Rosary program. Well, that wraps things up this week here on Catholic Sports View. I want to thank all my guests this week, Pat Harlow, as well as J.P. Presley. And if you want to catch any of our shows, this show or any of the other ones we've had here on Catholic Sports, you simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio and you can catch all the replays right there. I am Bob Gibson. We thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.